Let's start with the basic question, Ralph. Why are you running for lieutenant governor?
I've spent the last 8 years as Secretary of State, and I think if we look back 8 years ago and we see the way that office was assumed to be, we've really been innovative. We've helped small businesses. We've registered more people to vote. I want to take that experience and passion and do the same thing as lieutenant governor. I think there's a lot we can do in Rhode Island to change our economy, to change our quality of life and perception, and I think the lieutenant governor working with the governor is a spot that can really make a difference.
As you know, some people question whether we really need a lieutenant governor in Rhode Island. If the office was abolished, what would the tangible impact be? How would Rhode Islanders know that?
I think there'd be two major impacts. Impact number one would be that the lieutenant governor is obviously first in line to succeed the governor should he or she get an appointment, should he or she resign. I believe the third in line is someone who would be elected by 1,000 people. And so you want the governor to be elected by the people of Rhode Island. So that's the first thing. And by the way, I am in favor of having the governor and lieutenant governor run together. The second thing is that whether it's the Long-Term Care Coordinating Council, the Small Business Advisory Council, EMA, the opportunity to be visionary as
EMA, the Emergency Management Agency.
Yes. The opportunity to be visionary, as Lieutenant Governor Roberts has done with health care. I think you lose an advocate of someone who can actually make a difference in a lot of different areas. And so I think it's a position that has shown its justification in the past couple of lieutenant governors and can show it even more in the future come January of 2015.
Jobs in the economy are the top issue for most Rhode Islanders. So what role can the lieutenant governor play in trying to improve the economy, and what are your ideas on that?
A couple of things. First, as lieutenant governor, I would serve as chair of the Small Business Advisory Council. And I can tell you from attending those meetings, some of the best ideas we have on turning the state around, from reducing our sales tax to be in line with our neighbors to eliminating the minimum corporate tax for businesses 3 years or younger and on, come from small business. So as chair of Small Business Council, I can be an advocate for those programs, those plans, those initiatives, that legislation. The second thing is when I announced in January of 2014, one of my major parts of my platform would be a workforce development task force to fill our skills gap, to begin allowing our students who are graduating and regretfully moving elsewhere for opportunity, to find opportunity right here in Rhode Island. And we're one of the few states whose population is not growing. A lot of that has to do with graduating students finding jobs other than in Rhode Island. We need to change that. And by filling our skills gap and changing, being more innovative in public education, financing it properly, I think we can do that.
There was a media report in 2012 that indicated that no one connected with 38 Studios had registered as a lobbyist, despite the video game company's success in attracting a $75 million loan guarantee from 38 Studios. Mm-hmm. You didn't begin to look into possible lobbying violations until you were pressed on that issue earlier this year by Channel 12. Why not?
We looked into it. We looked into it dating back to 2012. We didn't begin the investigation, which we've done now, until 2014. Reason is that the law is pretty clear that a Secretary of State can only begin an investigation on someone's lack of filing their forms to lobby unless they receive some sort of concrete information or a complaint. Now, 2012, common sense was someone, and I spoke against 38 Studios in 2010, 2012 was common sense as someone had to lobby for it, but we had no tangible evidence to go investigate anyone. In 2014, we were handed that new information. We saw a contract between Mr. Corso and 38 Studios, and that allowed us to proceed. So we are investigating it. I'm going to let this investigation speak for itself, but it's really the only public investigation going on right now. And I think when all is said and done, hopefully they start showing up to hearings and we'll actually find out who did the lobbying.
You referred earlier to Rhode Island's current Lieutenant Governor, Elizabeth Roberts, and you seem to be favorably disposed toward her work in helping to establish Rhode Island's version of Obamacare, Health Source Rhode Island. Do you agree that that helps to demonstrate the value of the Lieutenant Governor's office, and do you believe that Rhode Island can afford to sustain Health Source Rhode Island?
Well, first, whether we agree or disagree with affordable health care, Lieutenant Governor Liz Roberts has made Rhode Island a national model. And I think that justifies one of my statements regarding the lieutenant governor's office, that by thinking outside the box, because that's not a defined responsibility in the Constitution of Rhode Island general law, by thinking outside the box, she made a difference in people's lives. Health Source Rhode Island is something that we need to look forward to hopefully be able to continue, because it does provide a competitive market for businesses and individuals to get health care. Hopefully we can sustain it. Hopefully we can make it affordable. That's something that will be a priority of any lieutenant governor moving forward with the commissioner and the next governor, to find a way to keep this the Rhode Island the national model while at the same time making it affordable.
We're talking here with Secretary of State Ralph Malas, one of three Democrats running for lieutenant governor. Among the three main Democrats running for governor, who would you like to see win that office?
Actually, and I'm sure you're going to hear this from anyone, I'm looking forward to running with the Democratic candidate come September 10th. I think we have three fine candidates. The party has not endorsed anyone. None of the lieutenant governor candidates have endorsed anyone, but I can tell you that come the morning of September 10th, I look forward to aligning with that individual and over the next 8 weeks after that, going to Rhode Islanders and letting them know how together as a team, working together, we can make some changes to Rhode Island, make some changes to government, and actually begin moving Rhode Island forward. But I do think we have three fine candidates.
Now, we know that you worked in the private sector before serving as mayor of North Providence. You've won two terms as Secretary of State, and now you're looking to move up to lieutenant governor. What would you say to people who question about whether you've become a career politician?
Well, I would first point out the 13 years in the private sector. I would then point out that after 13 years in the private sector, I ran for mayor of my hometown and served 10 years there. And then I would point out the fact that I would never run away from that. I would never run away from whether it's a title or a political accusation, because I'm very proud of my public service. I'm very proud of what we accomplished as mayor. I look to our accomplishments as Secretary of State, and I think we've really given that office a new definition. And I think for someone running for lieutenant governor, you want that type of experience, the type of experience in the private sector, the public sector, just as importantly, the fact of being an everyday Rhode Islander and living the challenges that a lot of our Rhode Islanders face. I think I bring a very unique perspective to the office of lieutenant governor. And again, I wouldn't run from my years of public service. It's something I'm very proud of what we've accomplished.
What would you point to as the greatest differences between yourself and your two Democratic opponents, Daniel McKee and Frank Ferry?
The greatest difference between myself and Dan McKee, I think, would be on education. I am a big proponent of making sure public funds go to public schools. I think that that charter schools have a very viable place in our education, but they're hurting private schools. They're hurting public schools incredibly. Money's being flowed from our public schools into charter schools. You know, he talks about combining and consolidation, but yet charter schools a whole nother department, a whole nother administration. So that's a major difference. Representative Ferry, we probably have a lot of social commonalities. We definitely believe in a lot of the same things. If anything, possibly governmental experience. I believe he has 7 years in the General Assembly as compared to my 18 years as more of an executive. But again, we do have a lot of similarities.
What current elected official in Rhode Island do you most admire?
Most admire would be difficult. There are a lot of them. So
to pick one or,
sure,
or two?
I think that our Senate delegation serves Rhode Island proudly. I think Senator Reid and Senator Whitehouse have given Rhode Island an incredible reputation in the U.S. Senate. They both bring different experiences to the United States Senate, but I think that when I go to Washington and I say I'm from Rhode Island, sometimes the first things I get are, okay, your Senators are Jack Reed and Sheldon Whitehouse, and you should be very proud.
The recent nadir in relations between a governor and lieutenant governor in Rhode Island was probably 2007 when Governor Carcheri went to Iraq without telling Elizabeth Roberts. If a Republican winds up winning the governor's office in Rhode Island and you win the lieutenant governor's office, how will you have an effective working relationship?
I guarantee that we can. While I think the lieutenant governor and governor should run together and serve together, I guarantee we can. I look back to my years as mayor. When I ran for mayor, I ran against an incumbent, and the entire council was with one, except for one, was with the incumbent. And with 90 days, we got together. We introduced a budget, a deficit reduction plan. I mean, we can jump party lines to work for what's best for Rhode Island. And I will assure that governor, whoever he or she may be, that they will, despite party lines, have a comfortable ally for the betterment of Rhode Island with me as lieutenant governor. And you have to get that trust. They can't, with all due respect to that person, they can't possibly trust me if they think that I'm going to be looking to hurt them or run against them. So I'm running for lieutenant governor. And if that means that I have to support the governor, no matter what party he or she is from, for 8 years, that is exactly what I'll do.
What do you consider your greatest challenge in this campaign?
The greatest challenge, I would think that, you know, I think the greatest challenge is to make sure that Rhode Islanders get out to vote in a primary. I think that it's a real challenge. I think, you know, the 20% turnout is actually a good turnout, and that's sad. So, you know, going door to door, going place to place, it seems like people are happy with what we've done in the Secretary of State's office. They're happy with what we've accomplished for small business. But the question is, will those individuals actually decide to vote in a primary on September 9th, knowing that they can disaffiliate afterwards?
Democratic candidate for lieutenant governor, Ralph Malas, thank you for sitting down with us.
Thanks for having me.